Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, today's going to be a great podcast. I have Lance Bachman with me here today. He's the founder of One CEO, Shock IT, one of the youngest VPs in AT&T history. He's going to show you how you can scale multiple businesses, really build an incredible net worth through entrepreneurship. Lance, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, nice to see you again, my friend. How you doing?
I'm great. Now, you got your hands in a lot of different, you know, a lot of different dishes here. Tell my audience, number one, how do you go from being an employee to being an entrepreneur? Why you even wanted to do that? Because that's a big pivot.
It is. I worked for AT&T. I was the vice president. I had about 900 people working for me. I came to a moment of truth. We had a post-employment conversation, if that makes sense to you. You know, I love AT&T. I love yellowpages.com. Great organization. But I went on my own. I knew it was the best decision I made. I said, if you can build things for other people, you can build it for yourself, as long as you're willing to work. I mean, it just takes a lot to do it. So yellowpages.com was a startup. Superpages.com was a startup. I was part of both of them. I was an instrument. I was a very important piece of it. I knew I could do it on my own. It was just a matter of figuring the pieces out. And, you know, I got a Harvard PhD on hard knocks of losing money from mistakes and making it dumb decisions. But, you know, they don't teach you that when you're out on your own.
No, there's nothing like doing your own thing. I always said, you make a choice. You either help somebody build their dream or you build yours. And I'm going to let the audience know, sometimes you're not wired to be an entrepreneur. So don't take that personal. I've got people that work with me and for me, and I'm grateful for it. We're wired differently. And that's just the way things are sometimes. So this dog and pony show ain't for everybody.
Nah, it's a lot of stress, a lot of long nights, a lot of sleepless nights. And, you know, the expectation for me is up here, right? That's the expectation. For everyone that's with me is down here. And the lower you are in my organization, the less I expect. I mean, right? I can't hold everyone to this standard. It's just that simple, right? I mean, they're not getting the big paychecks. They're going through what an employee should go through, right? When you're an entrepreneur, you're going for everything they said you probably couldn't have when you were a kid. That's what I'm doing. I'm coming for everything they said I couldn't have and then some.
Yeah, no, and I like that. And as I tell my employees, I mean, they are allowed to stop thinking about work when they leave the parking lot. I mean, they're not getting paid to think about it once they leave the premises. That's the reality of it. That's the reason why, you know, our paychecks have a few more zeros in it, because we got to take this monster home with us sometimes, like every night.
Every night.
So what was the first business you started at, you know, your first entrepreneurial venture that, let's say, that you want to talk about, like, you're, because we always have the train wrecks.
I owned a staffing agency, went out of business. I owned, I think, 6 restaurants, never made a nickel in any of them so far. Literally, like, you do not want me to invest in a restaurant. You want a surefire way not to make money in the restaurant business? Ask Lance Bachman to be your partner. It's a loser. You know, I'm like the guy who's stuck in Goodfellas in the bathroom, right? Like, get him out of here when they're betting, whatever movie that was. But, you know, one SEO was really it. I knew digital marketing. I knew my product so well, I knew I'd be successful. Like, I just know digital marketing. I feel like I'm the best digital marketer still today in the country. I feel like I know digital marketing inside and out, and I love it. So that was an easy company for me to grow because I was so passionate about it. I loved it.
And that was kind of what you did with AT&T, if I'm correct, right?
It is. Advertising. Online advertising.
I'm going to just jump in here and just kind of weave something together for my audience. And we're going to jump right back to Lance, because it's so obvious. Two things. Number one is that I've always said, if you gave me a restaurant, I'd give it back. Okay. That's number one. Number two is because I made the same mistake you made. It's, you know, hubris. When you're an entrepreneur, you think you can make any business work, that you somehow have the super sauce. And that's where we lose money. You know, like 6 restaurants deep, when you know you're coming at AT&T, you know you're a digital marketing superstar. And what do? You go start restaurants. That's where we screw up. I'm just saying to you, to the audience, if you want to relieve yourself of some pain and keep some money, try to stay in your core competency, because Lance said it right there. And we all have things that we feel that way. I'm the best in the world at such and such.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's where, you know, I went into then Shock IT, my partner, Scott. It was him and one person, but he was one of the brightest guys I met. And, you know, I grew that company. I think they were doing $300,000-$400,000 5 years ago. We're going to do over north of $15 million this year. you know, just in IT work, IT business. And he had that company for 15 years prior to me. And the only thing we changed was what I tell everyone, you have to advertise, systems, processes, leadership. You need those things in every organization. If you don't have them, you're out of business. And I tell everyone that. So, and it sounds easier to follow those 7, 8, 9 rules I disciplined myself to, but it's so much harder. You got to have the guts to do it. The fear that I see takes people over from growing their organizations is insane to me. The fear of failure. And I don't care. I bought a, in full transparency, I bought a company in January 1 of this year. By March 30th, I was gone rid of it and said, keep it back. I knew in 90 days, I didn't have the magic sauce. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah. This was an investment. It just isn't going to work for me. I'm out. Keep the money. I didn't even fight about it. I said, just keep the money. I'm out.
It's funny you say that, because I go on a lot of podcasts and I always tell them, I know a winner in the first 90 days. Like in first 90 days, I either know I need to do a massive pivot, a restructuring of something. I mean, I got to change the horses that are pulling this thing, whatever it is. I know one or two things, either A, I need to run, get rid of it, take my beating and go on. I've done what you did. Or number two, I better make a massive pivot. But I know 90 days in whether I'm dragging this thing.
And the issue with massive pivots, when you have multiple companies like you do, Sean, you don't have time for a massive pivot. You don't have time. Yeah. I can't teach you how to hustle. I always say that. I can teach you how to read a P&L. I can teach you how to use Service Titan, House Call Pro. I can teach you how to do so many things. I can teach you how to follow a sales call process. I can teach you, but I can't teach you how to freaking hustle.
Yeah.
You don't have that and you're my partner and you're not willing to hustle, then just go be an employee for someone, because that has to be the biggest thing you have to grow anything of greatness. So you can go run a small little business of a few people and not hustle. But if you want to have a few hundred employees and keep growing companies, you have to hustle and work. If you want to take phone calls at all times.
No, I love that. I'm taking notes. I wrote your four things down. You better advertise systems, processes, and leadership. It's funny because I'm not going to get into mine, but I have my few things just like you do. Like if you don't have these, like these are the, you know, the musts, you know, yeah. And we all have marketing, you know, advertising. That's the first thing in mine as well.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, it doesn't, like I always tell people, you could be the most beautiful woman in the world, but if your mom and dad locks you in the closet, you're not getting a prom date because no one's going to see you.
Right? I like that.
These are the same exact, like, blows me up about advertising, why people don't do it is you, when I was younger, and my son is 9 years old, he asked me about yard signs. Is that advertising? But he was driving, we were in Wildwood, and it said fruit for sale. That's where my beach home is. He goes, Dad, is that advertising? I said, yes, he wants us to go buy fruit. It's a small business. Let's go buy some fruit. So when we went and bought, I did the money chance. Do you mind? Let me, you have, I said, but here's a man that is selling fruit in Wildwood. He understands he needs to put a sign out, fruit for sale. But yet all these people that own these companies, they don't have websites, Facebook, Instagram. They don't have YouTube. They don't do pay-per-click. They don't do SEO. And they wonder why their businesses don't grow. But they'll show up to 10 network events every single
so
month.
Ridiculous.
The same people that are struggling for business just like them. No doors are opening. Actually, they're doing the reverse. Doors are closing on them because they can't show that they can grow companies.
I must be bad. I went to one network event in my life and never went to one again. I never felt like I was in a bigger group of losers in my entire life. It was nothing but I'm the bad guy, call me whatever, but I'm telling you, I went to one and I've never been to one since. And it's funny you talk about marketing. I always use this illustration. I go, you know, we all know that Budweiser sells beer, but yet they're going to spend about $10 to $20 million at the Super Bowl just to remind us. You know, it's ridiculous that we think as a small business that we don't need to advertise, yet the most, you know, companies where we know their name effortlessly, breathlessly, you know, it's like that. And they still constantly want to remind us.
Google advertises, one of the biggest cash companies in the country. Facebook advertises, right? And so, but I tell everyone, if you want to see success, it's really not hard. And Sean, you're kind of like me, you're self-made, right? And I say this to people, it's a monkey see, monkey do. If you want to make money, become a multimillionaire, see where the private equity firms go and the bank go, see where they're investing. Invest in the same spaces. You're going to become a multimillionaire. See, if you want to run a business, run it like Google, Facebook, all they do. I'm not talking about their inefficiencies. I'm talking about this. They advertise. They put systems in place. They put processes in place. And they're constantly building leaders to take the next leadership. I mean, we're a Google Premier Agency. I've never had the same Google rep for more than a year to 18 months. I mean, Facebook, same thing. I mean, they're constantly moving people out, quitting, you know, elevating people. So you just monkey see, monkey do, duplicate success, and you're going to become very successful.
No, I love it. I have Lance Bachman with me here today, a true entrepreneur. What do you, they're your go-to things. If you're in an elevator and you got, you know, you're going up 10 floors and somebody just says, man, my business sucks. I need help. You know, what is your go-to? I mean, what's kind of your, that you, the one thing, because I think we're both on the same, but I want to give you a chance to hear what you say. What's the one thing that you constantly see as the problem with small businesses, why they're not growing? Like, you know, the,
I can tell you right now, it's the person running them. Yeah. It's him. They're the problem. It's kind of like me, right? I've been fighting weight, my weight up and down for the last 5, 6 years. My buddy Tony Brie is constantly glancing. You're the problem. You go out and eat bad. You go like, yeah, you'll make it to the gym, but you can't outrun a bad diet, right? So it's the same thing with small business owners. They're their own problems. They live in fear. They're afraid to have to employ people and meet a payroll. They're like, I hear people say, I'm booked a month out and, you know, roofing or H. And I'm like, what? A month out? You want to be 2-3 days out at the max. You got a demand issue. You can make so much more money if you just fed the machine. And they're like, oh, no, I don't want that kind of headache. I don't want that kind of risk. What are you talking about? Once it's built, it kind of just starts going and going and going and going. So I have a very different – they're the problem. I've always said to any small business owner, no different than me with my weight, and I struggle with it very transparently. People that I go up and down, and I'm always fighting my weight battle. It's the same exact thing. You're the problem. No one else. You're the problem. You got to change your mindset.
It's funny. I go through this thing called this Bermuda Triangle of why startups fail. And the first thing I always say is that the idea has never been tested. You know, the entrepreneur's got the idea, bounces it off his friends and family. They're like, Johnny, that's great. Never beta tested. So the second thing is they hire family and friends. So they don't have, instead of making a great hire, they got, you know, Jimmy and Mary. So it's, you know, obviously we know. And the third biggest thing that we're just talking about, they're a schmuck. You can't fix stupid. You can't fix lazy. You can't fix a person who has no resilience. And we're jumping on the third thing is that, yeah, the person, it does all, you know, it all stems around the person who's leading the thing.
Listen, I've have now, we're going to do over $100 million this year. I grew up in an orphanage group home foster care system. I'm probably the dumbest person you're ever going to meet when you walk in a room. And I'm proud of that. I always said, I'm the dumbest guy you're ever going to meet. I made more mistakes than everyone put together here. But what I'm very good at is getting up, working every day, taking chances, following my template, the structure, and go over and over again. And I listen to people like you. I listen to successful people. I say, let me get in a room with them. Then he opens up the door to next successful people. And you always keep true to your word. You do the right thing. And just these small business owners, they just don't get it. They don't get, they live, like you said, or they live in fear. They live small thinking. They don't understand. You know, someone said to me, why would you give up equity in one of your companies? Because I'm going through that process right now. I said, well, if an equity firm can take 10, 15% of my company and I exit doing 200 million instead of 20 million, and the multiplier changes from the variant of a 5x to a 12x, you tell me, was it worth giving up some equity and cash? And people just can't see that picture and vision.
Yeah. And I like, I did Peter Taunton, the founder of Snap Fitness. I had him at the Weekend MBA, and he said, there comes a point where you get an offer where you have to take the chips off the table. He said, because you have to reward yourself for the sacrifice you made. And there's nothing like it than seeing, he said, when I saw that wire transfer go in my account, he said, that's when it truly hit me that, okay, these 20 years, you know, building 6,000 franchises paid off. He said, you know, I had the opportunity, just like you, you know, an equity firm, you know, offering some money. He said, I got to move some chips off the table and literally, you know, the stress level, you know, never having to really worry about money ever again.
Correct. Makes you sleep a little better at night.
Hey, listen.
He still gets up and works every day still because he's just wired.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, we have a machine. It's funny. You mentioned your childhood. I always joke. I was raised by wolves, loving wolves, never left. But, you know, I mean, I definitely grew up, you know, on the difficult side of things, much harder. But it does give you that fight. I love the fact that like my kids' lives are completely changed. Like, you know what I mean? And I know you feel that same way. That's the greatest peace of mind I have, is I know that I've advanced them 100 years further than from where I was.
I say my sons are going to be born on third base, right? Yeah. And it's what I love when I meet people that like are now in my circle, but they were born on third base, but they're still on third base. That's not success to me. That's actually the worst thing my sons can do. All my sons are born on third base. And I know that just knowing that now. But it's their job to hit the home run. It's their job to drive it in and score every single time. And that's where I'll say, okay, that's where you do well. Because no matter what, your kids are going to go to private school. They're going to have great educations. They're going to have a different network than we do. We're having different conversations. My 9-year-old boy can read a P&L. He can tell you what appreciation is, what depreciation is. He can tell you what a balance sheet is. He understands it all because I force it. You know, we've had summer camp, a bunch of wrestlers at my house this year. And on Fridays, everyone learned how to read a P&L, all 13 kids. And I know some of their parents probably thought I was nuts teaching their children P&L, but if they really look at it from the outside, this is the best advice their children can get because the school system is socialism. And that's what people understand. It's actually, I disagree with almost everything schools teach. It's just go get a 40-hour-week job. People put these people up on pedestals. And that's great if that's what you want. I don't want that for my children. So I teach my children to be critical thinkers and outside the box. Like, read a P&L.
Absolutely.
Understand how money works. You know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, probably one of the best books ever written.
That's in my top three. I love it. Give me Think and Grow Rich, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and give me 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Then I go Speed of Trust, number 4. There's my top 4.
I mean, they're great books. And, you know, they're the things that it's hard. And the problem is, you know, Sean, me and you can have these conversations, but it's hard on a Saturday afternoon when people are over. Our friends aren't talking about these things. They're talking about different things about, you know, whatever. And it's just very hard to engage sometimes. And I love those conversations, but I enjoy these conversations of building and growing and risk takers and entrepreneurs because they have a different mindset.
No, I love it. I love the fact you had wrestled. I was Division I wrestler. Next time you have them over, man, lines of defense, heads out in front. If you can't get through my head, you'll never get to my legs.
Josh Kingdig is their coach. He wrestled for Oklahoma State.
I apologize. I interrupted. Finish what you're saying.
No. Josh Kingdig.
Yeah.
College. I didn't. I wasn't a really good wrestler. I was like the wrestler. I just went out there, got beat up. I was just a tough kid, scrappy. Yeah.
But yeah, and that works. You know, we always say, man, you know, when we would need like kids to fill weight classes, you know, growing in high school, it's the kid that if you bumped into him in the hall, he'd want to fight you. And we go, no, how much do you weigh? Right? You pull him in, get him. Yeah, get him on the scale. It's funny. My son is a really good wrestler, and I, you know, like what we have the means to do. I hired Jack Mueller, who was, you know, who wrestled at UVA, was NCAA runner up, 3-time NCAA champion, high school, you know, national freestyle champion, and you know, bring him over to the house in the basement, let them just kill each other for an hour. Now I love it. It does that. That's one sport that definitely makes you a little bit tougher than any, just in my opinion. Okay, I've played other sports. It's one sport that definitely gives you a level of resilience. And I think it pays off in business as well, obviously.
I mean, I wasn't a great wrestler, but I did learn my life lessons a lot from them. And I tell this, the one thing about wrestlers is this, when everyone else is getting ready to quit, you're just starting. I see it with my son in football. Not that he's the best football player.
Yeah.
But when they're running sprints, he doesn't even get affected by it. When they got to do any type of strength, he's just, and they call him like a robot and it's that. I start laughing because it's not that. It's just he's conditioned to understand his body can do so much more than he thinks.
I
see it with his friends that wrestle.
It's an amazing sport. I used to always say to my son before we go into like a finals or something like that, I'd whisper in his ear, all I can tell you is this, second sucks. And I said, listen, it doesn't mean, and if you don't win, doesn't mean I'm not going to love you anymore. But I'm just telling you, dad to son, there's going to be a point in that match where you have a choice to either let go, go on your back, quit, whatever it is. There's going to be a moment. Two great guys in that match. At one point, you're going to make a choice. And I'm just telling you, the sacrifice is worth it because I've never seen a silver medalist on a Wheaties box.
Never.
Never. No. I said, all I can tell you is the fight is worth it. No matter what happens out there, I'm just telling you the fight is worth it. I love it. I have Lance Bachman with me, a true entrepreneur, the founder of One SEO, Shock IT. Lance, it's just great to have you on the podcast. How can my audience connect with you?
They can reach out to www.oneseo.com or go to digitallion.com. All my information is there. My cell phone, my numbers are everywhere. I'm easy to get a hold of. I'm one of the most successful people you ever meet.
I love it. You know, it's funny. I can just tell, like, I could literally just sit here and chat with you for a couple hours. I'm like, our DNA is so aligned. Again, I have Lance Bachman with me here today. So grateful to have him. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Subscribe to it. Tell five other people about it. We get to more information the fastest possible. And your host is a work in progress. I'm working on not interrupting people. I am a D minus at this, but I was an F at one point. Okay. Thank you. This podcast brought to you by getstartedmarketing.com. You need more leads, you need more sales, reach out to them. They'll give you a free analysis. Thank you again. We will talk soon.